Hello, good morning. Welcome to worship. Thank you for coming this morning. On the right-hand side of your bulletin in the church calendar box, you'll see the activities of this upcoming week. On Wednesday night, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Building, in the Ed Building across the street, we have a supper. Does it cost you anything? We invite you to all come. Come if you can. Eat supper with us at 6:30 p.m. and that'll be followed by Bible study and a time of prayer together. The next WIC Bible study is this Tuesday night, July the 31st. Thank you all for the bottled water and the snack items for the school baskets that will be delivered on August the 1st to our schools in Water Valley. To show our appreciation to the teachers and the staff. All donations to that are appreciated. Those will be, they've been boxed up over there this morning and they'll be delivered on Wednesday, right? So thank you for that. Down at the bottom, on the right-hand side, you will see question number 74 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The questions 41 through 82 of the Shorter Catechism have to do with the Ten Commandments. And the eighth commandment is, "Thou shalt not steal." Question 74 says, what is required in the eighth commandment? And the answer is, our call to worship this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Would you read it with me responsively? All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I knew there was something I forgot a minute ago. I was trying to think about it, and it's the flowers. The flowers came out of Louise Heron's garden, and she has given these beautiful flowers this morning. Would you please stand and let's all sing the doxology. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, Lord of heaven and earth, our loving Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for the invitation from our Lord Jesus Christ to come to Him. Lord Jesus, we do come to You because You are the only Savior of sinners. You are the only one who can truly give us rest for our souls. And that rest comes through the substitutionary atoning propitiation that You made for sinners. We celebrate that rest on this day of rest through Jesus Christ our Lord, who also taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first hymn this morning as we worship is number 469. So if you are able, please stand and let's sing all stanzas of How Sweet and Awesome is the Place.
Whoa.
And now would you join me and let's all confess our common faith together using the ancient Apostles' Creed. Christian, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our merciful Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we have erred and strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against Your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. We have no help in us without You. But You, O Lord, are a God who forgives those who confess their faults and repent of their sins. Have mercy on us according to Your promises to us in Christ Jesus. Promises such as the one in Romans 5:8-9, which says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. We pray that You would forgive us for being driven too much by selfish ambition and by vain conceit. We pray that You would forgive us for our worldliness, for yielding to the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, for pride in our own accomplishments and possessions. Forgive us for our self-righteousness. Help us to live a godly, righteous, and sober life according to the pattern given us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would draw near to those who are grieving and to the sick among us. And we pray especially this morning for Ronnie Mowdy. And we pray for James Wright, whom we've been requested to pray for. And to us who are gathered here, we thank You for Your Word. We ask that You would help our hearts to be open to it, that by the Holy Spirit You would search us out and see if we are spiritually blind to the light of Christ. And help us to be conformed to Your Word, because we want to be true followers of Christ. We want to be true Christians, not just here on Sunday, but in our daily walk. So teach us, Lord, and enable us. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 840 in the back of your Trinity hymnal, you'll find the words to Psalm 148. Psalm 148 is our responsive reading this morning as we are about to complete reading through the Psalms pretty soon. But we come today to Psalm 148. Would you turn there and read with me Psalm 148 responsively? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the highest above.
Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts.
Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all His shining stars.
Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies.
Let Him praise the name of the Lord.
He set them in place forever and ever. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Our next hymn is number 455. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Would you please stand if you are able? Let's sing. And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
Thank you. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to receive our morning offering. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your love to us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Thank you for the tenderness and compassion we have received from Him because He divested Himself of all His divine prerogatives and made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We gladly bring to You these tithes and offerings and pray that You might use them to extend the kingdom of Jesus Christ and Your glory to every part of the earth. We pray it in His name. Amen. The message this morning comes from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And this is what it says. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the Word of God for us this morning. And after the choir sings, Reverend Bill Smith is going to bring a message to us from that passage of Scripture.
To thank Reverend Sprayberry and the elders of this church and all of you for giving me this privilege of preaching God's Word today. Who do you think is the worst sinner in Water Valley? The person you don't have any respect at all for. If you saw that person in the grocery store, you might manage to do that southern smile and say, "How are you?" But inwardly, you would be despising that person. A person you don't want your children or your grandchildren to be around. A person you'd never ever invite into your home. Now imagine that next Sunday, that person comes to church and sits right down there on the front row, not knowing that Presbyterians never sit on the front row. Throughout the service, you hear soft sobs coming from that person. At the end of the service, that person runs up to the pastor, embraces him, and cries like a baby. That person makes a scene. And what would you think if the pastor didn't pull away? How would you think about yourself? How would you think about that sinful person that came to church? How would you think about Pastor Sprayberry? There was a Pharisee who invited Jesus to dinner in his home, and Jesus accepted. Jesus would eat with anyone. He went to a feast at the home of a despised tax collector named Matthew, who invited his friends who were other tax collectors. That upset people like Simon, who asked, "Why do you eat with tax collectors, these men who for money have sold themselves out to the hated Roman government to collect their taxes? Why do you eat with sinners? People who live openly flagrant lives against God's law." This continually bothered people like Simon. But Jesus also accepted invitations from people like Simon. Simon was a Pharisee. He belonged to the most conservative of the Jewish religious groups. Pharisees were devoted to the Old Testament law and to Jewish traditions. They strictly obeyed those laws and traditions themselves, and they encouraged other people to do so. They saw themselves, by their conduct, to be set apart from most other Jews. And many of the common people looked up to them as examples of men who were truly holy and righteous. Simon was interested in Jesus as a teacher. And he may have invited Jesus to his home that day so that he could ask him questions to test Jesus' loyalty to the Old Testament laws and the Jewish traditions. There are a few things that will be helpful for us to know about meals like this. The food was placed on a table, and there were couches at the table, and people lay on these couches with their head toward the table and their feet away from the table. They braced themselves on their left arms, and they used their right hands to reach out and take from the common food. Just as we have customs today when we invite someone into our home, so the Jews had customs. The host would provide some water and a towel so that the guests could wash off their dirty feet, which had been defiled by walking around in sandals in the streets, which were made of dirt. They would greet their guests usually with a kiss on the cheek, something like our handshake or our quick hug. And they would normally anoint that person with a mixture made of olive oil. Also, during things like this, the homes were open, and people from town were free to wander about. They could come see who was attending, what food was being served, and they could even listen in on the conversations, and then, when they were ready, leave. But just as we would not welcome just anyone into our home, so Simon would not. However, on this day, a woman who was known as a public sinner, a special classification of people, she was probably a prostitute. A woman whom Jesus himself said had many sins came into the house. In her hand, she had an alabaster jar which contained an expensive perfumed ointment. She approached the couch where Jesus was reclining, and as she came to Jesus, she broke down in tears. She cried so profusely that she made Jesus' feet as wet as they would be if someone had poured water over them. She had no towel to use, and so she took down her hair and used it to dry his feet. Then she began to kiss his feet profusely. Finally, she broke the top off that alabaster jar and poured that ointment over Jesus' feet. And Jesus did nothing to stop it. When Simon saw this, he immediately discredited Jesus as a prophet. You know how you and I can see something that really shocks us, but we keep our mouths shut? That's what happened with Simon. He was thinking to himself, Jesus is in no way at all a prophet, else he would know who this woman is, or at least know what kind of woman she is, and would not allow her to touch him. This woman is an ostracized public sinner whom no prophet ought to have contact with. Yet Jesus let her touch him in a public and scandalous way. Jesus was always touching people or allowing people to touch him whom you weren't supposed to have physical contact with, because if you had contact with them, you would become defiled according to the ceremonial law. He touched lepers. He allowed a woman with a constant discharge of blood to touch him. He even touched dead bodies. And this was perhaps the worst instance of all. An immoral woman crying at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair, kissing his feet over and again, and then anointing him with expensive ointment. Jesus immediately showed that, in fact, he was a prophet. Though Simon said nothing, Jesus knew exactly what Simon was thinking. And so he said, "Simon, I have something I'd like to tell you." And Simon said, "Go ahead and say it." Jesus told a story. There were two men who were in debt to a moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. Neither had the resources to pay the debt. Now, a denarius was the pay for a day for a day laborer. By day laborer standards, if these men did nothing but work every day in order to pay their debt, the one would have to spend at least 50 work days to repay, and the other would have to work a year and almost 7 months in order to pay it off. Of course, each would have to take longer because he would have to have something to survive on while he was paying his debt. But anyway you look at it, according to their resources, no man of these two could pay. But the moneylender did a totally unexpected thing. He canceled the debts of both. He just took them totally off the books. They had no more debt. They had no more obligation. He freely forgave the debts that they had no way of repaying. Jesus said, "Simon, I want you to think about that story. Which one of those two men do you think would love the moneylender more? The one who owed 50 or the one who owed 500? Simon grudgingly answered, "Well, I suppose the one who owed 500. "Why, of course, even Simon could figure that out. Simon had not shown Jesus even the common courtesies expected in a Jewish home. Why? Because he didn't love Jesus. And why didn't he love Jesus? He didn't love Jesus because he had no sense of any need for Jesus to forgive him for anything. In contrast, there was this woman. She was a sinner. There was no denying it. Everybody knew it. Most important, she knew it. In fact, Jesus says she had many sins, yet she showered Jesus with love. It was a public and an extravagant display of love. But there was nothing self-conscious about it. She wasn't seeking for people to notice her or pay attention to her. She knew where Jesus was. She knew she had this expensive ointment and wanted to anoint him. But when she got there, she was overcome with the emotion of love. So she broke down, wet his feet with her tears, dried his feet with her hair, kissed his feet, and then poured the ointment over them. She loved Jesus very much because Jesus had forgiven her very much. we need to ask, why was she forgiven? Did she somehow earn Jesus' forgiveness by these acts of love? Did her changed life, evidenced by these things she did at his feet, merit Jesus' forgiveness? No, Jesus makes it clear. She was forgiven the same way the two debtors were forgiven by the moneylender. Her guilt was simply stricken from the record. And she was given by Jesus totally free forgiveness. How did she receive this forgiveness? Jesus says to her, "Your faith has saved you." She believed that Jesus could forgive her. She did not deny her sins or try to explain them away. She did not minimize them. She knew her sins were grievous and her sins were many, but she believed that Jesus forgave her. She trusted that he could forgive her and do whatever was necessary in order for him to give that forgiveness, which, as it turns out, meant he had to die for all the sordid sins this woman had committed. She rested her confidence completely in Jesus to free her from the guilt of her sins and to save her from the condemnation and judgment her sins deserved. It was that free forgiveness received by simple faith that produced in her such feelings and such acts of love. What we need to do is to see these three people: Simon the Pharisee, the woman the sinner, and Jesus the Savior. We should begin by asking ourselves an uncomfortable question. How much do we have in common with Simon? You see, we're conservative Christians. Our theology is conservative. Our morality is conservative. As citizens of the United States, we're concerned about the moral drift in our society, the approval of homosexual practice and marriage, the acceptance of a woman's right to end her pregnancy for any reason she finds acceptable. More people who are young are living together outside of marriage and apparently not at all concerned about it. Children are born to unwed mothers and they grow up without fathers. But is there any Simon in us? Do we feel morally superior? Are we confident that we are righteous in a way that sets us apart from other people? Would we be offended if Jesus freely forgave people guilty of some of the sins I just mentioned? Or would we really be more comfortable? Would we rather that Jesus have nothing to do with them? Or would we even delight if Jesus were to judge and condemn them? Or if Jesus is somehow going to forgive them, would we want Jesus to watch them for a while to see if they're really sincere before he grants them forgiveness? It's so easy for me, and maybe it is for you too, to become a self-righteous Simon, to see myself as somehow different from and better than other people. We have to ask ourselves in this story, are our sympathies more in line with Simon's or more in line with the Savior's? But then some of us, even this morning, can find great hope and comfort from this woman and the way that Jesus treated her. Some of us have really messed up our lives. Even Christians who have been Christians a long time, can really mess up their lives. And we can be haunted by memories of what we've done. Perhaps memories of things we have done long ago. Or perhaps memories of things we did very recently. When we think of those things, we are deeply ashamed and embarrassed. And we may be tempted to despair, to think that as badly as we have messed up, Jesus could never love us or forgive us or accept us. But this woman stands as a testimony that there is hope for all of us and hope for all sinners. No matter how great our sins, no matter how many in number are our sins, no matter how often we have committed those sins, no matter how messed up we have made our lives and have hurt and damaged others, there is hope because Jesus freely forgives sins. Jesus is ready right now to forgive my sins and yours. What does he ask? He doesn't ask us to go and clean up our lives some and then come ask for forgiveness. He doesn't ask that somehow we show that we're really worthy of forgiveness. He asks simply that we trust him as the one who can and the one who will forgive us because he died for our sins. There is no sin too bad. There are no sins too numerous. There are no sins too often committed that Jesus cannot and will not forgive them. Jesus can and will forgive all sins. And Jesus will accept us. He will take us back just as soon as we turn to him in faith for forgiveness. And when he forgives us like that, we won't be able to help but to love him for it. And all of us, whether we are more like Simon or more like this terribly sinful woman, need to look right at Jesus and see him for who he is. He is the Son of God. He has the authority to forgive sins. Whatever Jesus does, God does. Whatever Jesus says to us, God the Father says to us. Jesus forgives the sins of all, anyone and everyone who comes to him in faith. Jesus has the authority to say, with the authority of God himself, go in peace. Go from this church today at peace with God. Tomorrow, when you sin and you mess up and you know you failed Him again, go back to Him again. And He will forgive you again. He will say to you, your faith has saved you. You can be at peace and go in peace now. We don't have to be in doubt. Jesus doesn't offer us a conditional forgiveness based on our successfully passing a probationary time. We do not have to wait for Jesus' forgiveness. If we go to Him, confessing our sins and asking His forgiveness, He will say to us at that very moment, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Go in peace today. Go in peace tomorrow. Go in peace every time you sin, no matter how badly. Go right to Jesus. Ask Him for forgiveness on the basis of His death in your place. And Jesus will never, ever fail to say to you, go in peace. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask that You would help us to see this amazing grace of Yours displayed in the life of Your very own Son, who has the same divine nature You have. Help us to find hope for forgiveness and renewal and reconciliation and for peace of heart. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our last hymn, the first three verses of hymn number 693. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and forever. Amen.